Greetings, fellow Naked American listeners. I'm Julian Fleischer, your host. Welcome to another one of our Naked American Songbook Extras. We'll have more full episodes coming your way right quick, including some new knee slappers.
I knew the punchlines to the jokes. I knew the setups to the jokes. I knew, like, people would, like, say, maybe that's why we always wear our hats.
Okay, I'm going to set you up. You may ask, when did this tradition get started?
And I'll tell you, I don't know. Exactly.
Keep your feed updated so you don't miss out on any of those. But while preparing these feasts for your ears, my producers and I realized something incredible. In the not-too-distant past, I, Julian Fleischer, your host, made a mistake. Now, when did this indecent incident occur? Well, during my time in the pokey with Darren Criss. There we were, sitting in our cell, on our twin beds, talking about Stephen Schwartz. You know how prison is.
You know, I grew up loving a lot of Stephen Schwartz, and I grew up loving a lot of James Taylor, and learning those songs, how to play them.
Give me a Stephen Schwartz song that you love, love, love.
Stephen Schwartz?
Yeah.
God,
Don't be shy. Say Godspell.
No, but I didn't really get into him until later in life, so I'd have to think about this. What's a Stephen Schwartz song?
Something from Pippin.
You know what? I'll say all the Disney stuff. Oh. All the lyric stuff that was how I got hip to Stephen Schwartz, because I didn't put it together.
Please tell me you're going to want to play The Prince of Egypt, because I'll be...
I did play The Prince of Egypt. Did you know that? Last year, I did that with Stephen. I was Moses, and I was going to mention that song. Yeah, I did that already. I did the workshop for like 2 or 3 weeks. It was awesome. It's such a great score.
If you're sleepy, this is a lullaby, so it's okay if you want to nod off. Hush now, my baby, be still now, don't cry. Sleep as you're rocked by the stream. Sleep and remember my last lullaby. So I'll be with you when you dream.
Now, it has since been brought to my attention that The Prince of Egypt is not actually a Disney film. Now, grant me a little something here, because the mistake has a kind of logic to it. You see, a man by the name of Jeffrey Katzenberg worked on many Disney films in the 90s, and he was pushing Disney for an animated adaptation of the 1956 film The Ten Commandments. But Disney wouldn't do it. They wouldn't budge. So what did Katzenberg do? Well, he called up his friends Steven Spielberg and David Geffen, maybe you've heard of them, and they founded a little company called DreamWorks. And that is how, in 1998, The Prince of Egypt became the most successful non-Disney animated feature film in history up to that point. The Simpsons in 2007 now holds the official title. Okay, all that is to say, I was mistaken, just this once, not a Disney film. But let's get back to my conversation with my cellmate Darren Criss, specifically the part about Disney.
So when he was doing all the animated stuff in like the, you know, mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. early 2000s, just mid to late 90s, all the lyrics he wrote, one of my favorite animated scores ever is the completely underrated Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Of my virtue I am justly proud. Beata Maria, you know I'm so much purer than the common, vulgar, weak, licentious crowd. Then tell me, Maria, why I see her dancing there, why her smoldering eyes still scorch my soul. I feel her, I see her, the sun caught in her raven hair is blazing in me out of all control.
It's so dark and so wordy, and it's because Alan wrote the music, mm-hmm. and Stephen just did the lyrics. And Stephen is
Alan being
Mr. Mankin.
Just because I want my listeners to
Mankin, yes, yeah. Mankin, who wrote most of them at that time.
H.L. Mankin, a great Disney songwriter.
There is a pasty delight in the ugly.
The lesser appreciated Disney Mankin.
The one who isn't an anti-Semite.
Well, who is the one who isn't a Semite?
Right.
Yeah, Stephen, all his lyrics are really, really cerebral and really.
But he gets,
just
I find that he
so
gets,
learned.
They are, but he gets away with some. They scan, as you would say, mm-hmm. so well that they seem very natural.
God help the outcasts, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, we look to you still. God help the outcasts, where nobody will.
I ask for wealth, I ask for fame, I ask for glory to shine on my name.
I ask for love
I can't possess. I ask for God.
Please help my people, the poor and downtrodden. I thought we all were the children of God. God help.
God Help the Outcast, words by Alan Menken and music by Stephen Schwartz from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And while we're on the topic of Disney, who does not have a favorite song from a Disney movie? And how do you even choose? When you were only a babe, you were already introduced to some of the greatest songwriting around. On top of that, those songs taught us important life lessons, like how to dream.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep.
The problematic whitewashing of the war crime that is colonization.
You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
And most importantly, how to have a good time in a Speedo.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
Speaking of which, even Alan Cumming, who doesn't even consider himself a Disney fan, shared a favorite tune from The Little Mermaid.
I think this is a classic.
This is Alan Cumming's Guiltless Pleasure.
Yeah. It's a musical theater song, but it's given a very souped up different. Why don't we just hear it?
And why then, don't we listen to it before we decide?
And then the art will tell you who it is afterwards. I love when the bass comes in.
Look at this stuff, isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has
here it comes.
Everything?
Look
at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cabin hold? Looking around, do you think? Sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got hoops. One thingamabobs, I've got 20, but who cares? No big deal.
Here we go.
I want more. I wanna be where the people are. I wanna see them dancing, walking around on those. What do you call them? Oh,
feet.
Lifting your fins, you don't.
So ridiculous.
Legs are required for jumping,
dancing,
rolling along down the, what's that word again?
Street.
Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay. You
love that.
If I could live out of these waters, what would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? And you're on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their toes.
My favorite rhyme.
Bright young women,
women
sick of swimming, ready to stay.
Uh-oh. Here we go. I know some key change coming.
The modulations.
Ask my questions and get some answers. What's a fire ant? Why is it? What's the word?
Burn.
When's it my turn? When I learn.
Harmonies. Why not? It was there.
Wish I could be part of your world.
I love this song.
I'm going to hand it to you, Alan Cumming. I'm going to give you that one.
Isn't it great?
It actually is. I mean, I didn't love it when I listened to it on my own, but sitting here across the table from you, watching you live...
Well, you have to open your heart to it, to the campiness of it and the hilarity. It's Jessica Simpson, one of the most underrated American songstresses I think there are.
It goes, Ella... Sarah, Billy, Jessica.
Yeah, but she mastered. I think it's, you know, that's really an interesting point. Like, if I would say to people when they ask me, who is that, in the middle of the song, I'd say it was Jessica Simpson, they'd be like, oh.
Right.
And then if I said at the end of it, when we'd all like let go and we've gone with the campiness and gone with the fun of it, and it's a great song, and they do this really, you know, poppy modulations up the wazoo arrangement. Right. At the end, and I go, they go, who was that? And I go, Jessica Simpson. And they're kind of like, oh, and I liked it. And I think, see, rethink your prejudices, people. But isn't it great?
I think it is great, and I'm curious how you came across it.
Well, here's the thing. I found it on the Little Mermaid like album of the film, because I wanted to. I can't remember for some reason I wanted to listen to the Little Mermaid song because somebody wanted to sing it at Club Cumming. But I'm not so crazy about the girl who sings it. It's a beautiful sort of, you know, version, but it's all kind of too sweetie, sticky sweetie.
You mean the original?
The original. And I'm actually I love finding like disco remixes of classical sort of, you know, cutesy. I like that sort of mixture of, you know, taking stuff and putting a beat to it. Because I don't see why you can't do anything with a beat. Make anything into a dance.
Of course. I mean, that's what we're here to do, is dance essentially.
Live.
Do you know where you are? Do you know what this is?
This is the Naked American Songbook podcast.
Yes.
Where I'm going to discuss songs that are very special to me. And this is a podcast where you discuss songs and why they're special.
Oh my God, that's exactly right.
And we're in New York City.
And who are you?
Oh God.
This is easy.
I mean, who are any of us really? No, this is the hardest question I've ever been asked. My name's Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
I'm Julian.
Oh my God, so nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for coming
up. What's your last name, Julian?
Fleischer.
Okay, my last name is Bloom.
Oh.
Great. And so I very early on learned that I loved singing, and I just remember some of my earliest memories of that is I would play the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack and go downstairs and say, okay, I'm about to do a show. And I'd pretend that I kind of had this long-running Beauty and the Beast show, and I would play dress-up and just act out the entire movie Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I'm more of a Little Mermaid guy.
Sure.
I don't think you have to choose, but I'm a little older than you, and when Little Mermaid came out, it blew everybody's minds because it had been 30 years since Disney had really conquered the musical animation thing. They had been out of the business, and then they could show up with this masterpiece.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast sort of was the follow-up.
Yeah. I mean, Under the Sea is, the lyrics in Under the Sea are brilliant.
Yeah.
I notice something new every time I listen to that song.
I do too. And sometimes I just cruise onto YouTube and just watch that one number.
Yeah, me too.
Things are much better down where it's wetter. Take it from
me. But it's like the flute play, the flute, the bass play, the bra. And she sounding sharp.
Yeah.
But see, I don't even know it.
The lute play, the flute, the top play, the harp, the place play, the bass, and the sound, the chop, the bass play, the brass, the chop play, the top, the flute is the duke of soul.
Let's stick with Beauty and the Beast, which, by the way, is now out again in theaters in a live-action version.
Yep.
And how frustrating that they put the best-looking guy in Hollywood into the mask of the Beast. It's like, come on.
He transforms, though, right?
I guess he does at the end, but he could have been anybody. you know, when you have an opportunity to give the part to someone who's not great looking, you should do that.
Oh, uh-huh. I would agree with that. I gravitate towards movies with people who are less conventionally good looking.
Stick around.
Because conventionally good looking people are the people who made fun of me. They're the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit about them.
The mean girls.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's a little bit why Beauty and the Beast is a myth that appeals to you.
Right. Well, first of all, this is one of the first musical theater songs that I knew and memorized.
Right.
It's the perfect opening number. You meet everyone. It's the idea of a quirky girl being at the center of attention, which is the dream of every girl who's in musical theater, to be the quirky, different one. I'm not like them. I'm different. And everyone's like, oh, she's so beautiful but weird. Because
right.
No one wants to be like, she's weird and ugly. It's like, no, I'm beautiful, but like I like to read. It's the female gaze, if you will.
Right.
Every girl wants to be Belle, where it's like, I'm smart and pretty and people don't understand me except for this prince and his talking couches.
Right. But I'm not too pretty.
I'm not too pretty. I mean, she's gorgeous. And I like that actually they call it out where this guy Gaston is like, it's not like they all treat her like she's ugly. They admit she's pretty, which is good because there are some TV shows and movies where the girl is super quirky but like gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want everyone to be like,
take the glasses off and you'll see she's beautiful.
And I like that in this, no one's just like, she's peculiar. They're like, she's gorgeous, but she's weird.
Let's listen then, and we are actually going to listen.
Oh, great.
To the song Belle from Beauty and the Beast. This is a classic from Menken and Ashman,
mm-hmm.
from their masterpiece.
Oh, my God.
Are we listening to the original version, which is sung by Paige O'Hara?
Oh. Yeah, oh, this is the OG. Should we comment? Do director's commentary
sure.
on it?
Yeah. That's the sound of money right there. Hear all those strings.
Her voice is... Oh.
Little town, it's a quiet village.
Oh.
Every day, like the one before. Little town, full of little people. Waking up to say...
Oh, you think it's a slow song, but then...
Bonjour.
Oh, it's not!
Goes the baker with his tray like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell.
She's got the perfect amount of smile in her.
Oh, mouth. Yeah, it's in the mask. She's singing in the mask.
Provincial town.
Good morning, Belle.
Good morning, monsieur.
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story
about a beanstalk,
beanstalk and an ogre,
that's
and that's nice. Marie, the baguettes.
Hurry up.
I guess I could do that if this were chorus line.
Oh, couldn't we all?
I will challenge you to a chorus line karaoke throwdown.
Oh my God.
I even know the long versions.
Hello
12. 13,
Hello 12. Oh my gosh.
Bonjour. Good day.
How is your wife?
I need 6 eggs.
That's too expensive.
She really needed 6 eggs.
Need more than this provincial
life. So many babies.
Belle.
Good morning. I've come to return the book I borrowed.
Finished already?
Oh, I couldn't put it down. Have you got anything new?
Not since yesterday.
That's all right. I'll borrow this one.
That one? But you've read it twice.
Well, it's my favorite. Far off places, daring sword fights, magic spells.
Spells, a prince in disguise. Foreshadowing? That's exactly what she does.
Foreshadowing
later.
Is a literary technique for those of you who think it might be sexual.
What? No one thinks that.
Oh. No one?
Oh, do you like foreshadowing?
Yeah.
Hey.
I like a foreshadow.
This amazing, it's my favorite part because you'll see.
Yeah, foreshadowing. A bridge that both shows us her character, but also she won't discover that it's him until chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Which is the chapter that, you know, a book really takes off.
That's just well known.
Yeah. Looks have got no parallel.
Actually, Actually, chapter 3 is kind of early for that twist in the book that Belle's reading.
How many chapters there are.
Oh. But, like, if the twist is that the guy's Prince Charming,
if there's four chapters,
seems like it should be, like, chapter 8.
I mean, most classic movies have, like, 5 reels, 5 acts.
Right, but I don't think that's...
Wow, you didn't miss a shot, Gaston!
Oh, LeFou, who's gay in the movie, as we know.
Oh, that's right, we've heard about that.
Gay LeFou.
It's you. And no girl for that matter.
It's true, LeFou.
And I've got my sights set on that one.
Look, the inventor's daughter?
She's the one.
Little lucky girl I'm going to marry. Oh, Gaston is probably so bad in bed.
The best.
He's probably so bad at it.
The best.
Well, of course. I mean, you do, but...
Right from the moment when I met her, saw her, I said she's gorgeous and I fell. Here in town there's only she who is beautiful as me. So I'm making plans to woo and marry Belle.
Look there, he goes, isn't he dreaming?
Pardon.
Excuse
me.
I'll get the time.
Please let me through.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Just watch, I'm going to make Belle my wife.
And she loves a girl who's strange but special. A most peculiar mademoiselle. It's a pity and a sin. She doesn't quite fit in.
Belle, from the original 1992 movie, Beauty and the Beast.
Whatever your favorite Disney song, my favorite thing about all of them is that there's a little something for everyone, just like the tunes from The Great American Songbook, and for that, we are all grateful. This has been another Naked American Extra from the Naked American Studios. Stay tuned for full episodes coming up soon on your Naked American podcast feed. Our team includes Aaron Dalton, who is either Flotsam or Jetsam. You can choose. Ellie Smirling is Princess Merida of Dunbrook. Hilary Bonham is Cinderella, or so she thinks. Mike Shobe is, without question, our fairy godmother. I'm Julian Fleischer. You keep it naked.
I could waylay some aging roulette. No, not Stephen Schwartz.
Schwartz. He's getting a lot of shout-outs today. Stephen Schwartz is all over this.
Jonathan Schwartz,
yeah.
He runs this place, yes. And he knows everything.
The house that Schwartz built.
You're on the spot. Once you get the song started, it'll come out. But
hello,
let's...
that blowfish, blow! There we go.